Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, I was praying about, as I was preparing to make these broadcasts, what the Lord would have for me to share. And He directed me to a passage found in the book of Galatians, and I'm going to read that. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit, that's of the Holy Spirit, reap life everlasting. Now, that's a powerful scripture, but what actually is it saying? I mean, we can take it just on face value, but what does that imply, going to a little deeper level? What does it imply for our personal lives? What does it mean to sow to the flesh? What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Obviously, we read that, and of course, we don't want to sow to the flesh. We'd want to sow to the Spirit, because if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, which is a wonderful promise to the children of God. And as children of God, we always want to please our Heavenly Father. But to understand this, and I've entitled this message, Sowing to the Spirit, we're going to try to understand in a little deeper and more clearer way, perhaps with the help of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? To do so, we're going to have to look at the foundation, the groundwork, the preface, if you will, that Paul made to making this statement. And we'll find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. This is probably a familiar passage to you, but I want to go ahead and read it in its entirety. Paul says, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit," that's what we all desire, right? "Ye are not under the law." Now he proceeds to give a classification, an enumeration of the works of the flesh. Some of the words are not that familiar to us. We don't use them in today's language, but we're going to understand, try to understand what he is telling us. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, he begins to enumerate: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These relate a lot to the sexual sins. He goes on in verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Those are comprised of jealousies and divisions among believers. Envyings, verse 21, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He paints a picture, and anything that relates to it, he said, remember, as I have told you in times past, remember I already covered this with you, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is very powerful, because anyone, not that we could not sin in any of those areas, but it is the practice of those things, just willful, deliberate, continuing a lifestyle of these works of the flesh, we're walking in very, very dangerous territory. But in verse 22, he goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you do so, you're walking under the law of the new covenant, which is the perfect law of liberty. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Those that belong to Jesus, and you have done that, you want to serve Jesus, you love Jesus, you don't want to sin, you don't want to do things that displease Him. In verse 25, he goes on to say, "If we live in the Spirit, which we do, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." That's all I'm going to read of the scripture. Now, let's just look for a moment at that last verse. Don't be desirous of vainglory. In other words, this is something you don't want to pursue or seek after. And glory means to boast, to be proud of. And vainglory means excessive or ostentatious pride, especially in one's achievements. So it's someone who would be arrogant or proud and has a inflated attitude of who they are and what they have accomplished. And this is just bottom line, it is pride. And that certainly is not pleasing to the Lord. We're to walk in humility, deferring one another. However, sometimes the devil can take us to the opposite extreme, and I'm going to be dealing with that. But what does it mean about emulations? What is it when he says, "Let us not provoke one another, envying one another"? And he lists that in the works of the flesh that we read a little bit earlier. What does that mean? Well, other translations translate that as envyings or jealousy. King James Version does say envyings in verse 21, but there shades, as you study words, there's sometimes different shades of meaning. They kind of mean the same things, but there's another different aspect that's being brought out. And that Latin root word means to rival. It means ambition or striving, to equal or excel. That's the primary meaning, that someone wants to, for their own reasons, which we'll be looking at, want to excel or surpass anybody else. They because of their own personal needs in their own psyche, they will do whatever they need to do in terms of ambition or striving or effort to be better than somebody else. That's the primary meaning. And then second, of course, it means to imitate. And basically, this word means ambitious or envious rivalry. And of course, pride is connected with that. It's the cause of it. And if you remember, that was the first sin ever to enter the universe. That's what affected Lucifer. He was the covering cherub, but he was lifted up in pride. He thought he wanted to ascend above the throne of the Most High. He actually wanted to rival God. He was perfect in beauty. I mean, he was a gorgeous creature until the day that iniquity was found in him, and that iniquity was pride. He really thought he could be successful in what he desired to accomplish to such a degree that he took a third of the angels with him. Now, there's a book, A Cinnamon and Finder, by the author Rodale, and it means a trial of superiority. That's what emulation is. It's a race, it's a contest, it's a game, vying, antagonism, controversy, a match, like a wrestling match or a fighting match, opposition. And it means also competition, that there are people striving against someone else so they can be better, they can excel or be equal to. And as we look at the world around us, we see that the present world system is based on competition. Now, let me just say that every facet of society historically has revolved around this principle, but there are some positive aspects to competition. First of all, it could counteract carnal traits of being slothful, lazy, apathetic, and of course, that it's in its good qualities, it's necessary for civilization to advance. But we see in every system that man is involved in, there's always an attempt, especially we're speaking now in the world, those that are unsaved, they want to get better, they want to have a name for themselves, they want promotion, they want acknowledgement. And we find that competition in the world of academics, in education, in the arts, in the science, in technology, in medicine. If someone finds a partial cure or something that's helpful in one area, someone is trying to outdo that and get the copyright or whatever. And then there's marketing. Oh, goodness, if something's bigger, it's got to be better. We see that's true in athletics, in sports, in political systems. Looking at Babylon, Medes, Persians, Greece, Rome, for years, for centuries actually, they were the culture, the society that influenced Western Europe. And there are also people groups, different cultures, and we saw that played out in the 20th century. Those that feel they are superior to others, a super race that are called to basically rule over the peons. And so we see that this is, while it has positive benefits, on an individual level, it can be deleterious. And what does that mean? It means unexpected, harmful effects. And we're going to be looking at, my time has just flown, and I'm just laid a foundation. But in God's kingdom, He doesn't want that. He wants us totally devoid of that kind of competition that would just run over other people and seeks to exalt oneself in relation to pride. And so, because we find that's totally unnecessary in God's kingdom, and we'll look at that starting tomorrow. I invite you to tune in at the same time, or if you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and they are archived there for your listening convenience. And also, if you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write. I know it seems today no one really thinks of the importance of sharing prayer requests, but God has never done away with the power of agreement. If two or three of you would agree together as touching anything, the Heavenly Father would hear it and He would do it. He wants unity. He wants people coming together. There's a principle there. And so if you've been praying by yourself, that's great. But if you haven't seen results, sometimes you might consider the power of agreeing prayer, as it says in God's Word. I love you. Thank you for joining me. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577 Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.